This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Lisa and Pete this afternoon, but it's actually Lisa and Alyssa.
Yes, Pete's still sick. He's got some sort of lurg that's going
that
around.
That we don't want.
He really doesn't sound very well. We laughed at him earlier in the nicest possible way. Now, the Police and Footy Commission are investigating a bench theft. It was taken from Domain Stadium on Sunday. Now, in whoever's, you know, it was his defence, I guess they were just trying to sneak a little bit of history, a bit of a souvenir. A plank was removed from a bench seat in Block 105 and has not been located. It was, of course, taken during Sunday's game against Richmond. I'm not saying that that suggests it was a Fremantle Dockers supporter. I don't know if that's why Pete's laying so low, if he's at home on his plank, planking as we speak.
But the problem is there's still at least three events remaining at Domain Stadium.
That's right. And it's going to be a very uncomfortable seat for someone with a bench, you know, with a whole plank missing.
Yeah.
Someone could slip right through it.
But they have said that there are going to be opportunities for people to buy some souvenirs from Domain Stadium once they're finished with
Absolutely. Yeah, they're still using it, people. They say that, you know, they understand fans are keen to keep a souvenir of Subiaco as it holds such a special place in football history, in West Australian history. It wasn't just football that we've had at Subi. There's been concerts. There's been all sorts of things. So the time will come. There will be memorabilia available. But we'd love to know on 13 33 53, have you a piece of history of some sort, souvenir, but preferably legally at the correct time? You said you have, Alyssa.
Yeah, I have. So years and years ago when Rally Australia used to be held in Perth, my family's a bit of a rally family, so I did some volunteering official stuff. And at the after party, was chatting to some of the service crew members and managed to get the competitor pass from Colin McRae.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's at my parents' house.
That's really huge. One thing that I have, I guess it's a bit of a souvenir of history, when I was living in Melbourne, I bought a table, just a wooden table, and it's made from some of the planks from the original staircase in the old Meyer building there.
That is cool.
That's cool, isn't
it?
I've still got it, and I've managed to not etch things into it. Have you a bit of souvenired history? Sue in Mullaloo, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, what have you got?
I've got a photo of myself and my two brothers with the Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel Sanders,
Mr.
the guy.
Kentucky Fried himself, yes.
Wow, where did you get that?
My dad was working for Pizza Hut at the time and they were associated with Kentucky Fried in Adelaide.
Right.
So when he came over, we were lucky enough to go to a function at the Cottesloe Civic Centre and got to meet the man himself.
That's
pretty
amazing.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. He was, and he looked exactly like he did on the chicken box.
Oh, he does, doesn't
White,
he?
White, everything. It was incredible.
Thanks, Sue.
Hey, we've just got breaking news. It has been confirmed that the plank has been returned.
Really? Someone snuck in at the dead of the night? Hammer.
I thought they just would have replaced it and whatever. But
well, good on you.
Hey, Neil from Queen's Park, what's your piece of memorabilia?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you.
Good. I have a piece of the Berlin Wall.
Oh, that is a fantastic souvenir bit of history.
Yes.
Did you pick it up somewhere or were you lucky enough to be there?
No, a friend of mine a friend of mine many, many years ago, probably the early 90s, she went back to Germany to see family and she came back with a piece of the wall for me.
So. That is fantastic. Yeah, I can still remember watching the images of it on TV, of it coming down and people getting... You would have thought there was a bit to go around for everyone, but no, they're pretty scarce these days.
There is quite a bit of it out there, I think.
So, I bet.
It's not exactly very rare, but...
Where do you have yours on display, Neil?
Cabinet. It's mounted on a little plastic stand when the dates of the wall came down and that sort of stuff.
Has it got any graffiti on it?
Yeah, it's got some graffiti on it.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Yeah, no, it's very cool.
Thanks,
very
Neil.
Cool.
See ya.
Steve from Northridge, what's your piece of history?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Hi. Good. What have you got, Steve?
Hey, listen, I used to work in Sydney years ago, and I was working at a metal recycling centre in Seven Hills, and my boss came in and he said, hey, I've got this doorstop for you. I said, what is it? I picked it up and had a look, and it's a piece of the stainless steel that was struck from the 2000 cauldron at the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
So cool. There's only 500 I've never made. This is an official BHP piece as well.
Yeah, that's rare.
Yeah. I've carted this thing from New South Wales to Queensland, back to New South Wales, over to Perth now. So I've had it again.
Are you using it as a doorstop, or is it gone
absolutely,
to the pool room?
Yeah, that's what it is. No, it's a doorstop.
Wonderful.
But it's huge. Like, it's about a foot tall, and it's struck in a semicircle shape, so it stands up. It's a it's actually quite a nice artifact.
I was about to say, it's probably a really nice piece, just as is, let alone being a piece of history.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it is a piece of history. There's only 500 of them ever made. So my boss said, "You can have this one." He had a couple of them. Away we went. Happy
awesome.
Day.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Thanks,
Thank you, Steve.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talkin' Telly, this is Justin Hamilton, Talkin' Telly.
Hello, Justin. I reckon one day we'll be watching television on a little thing going around our coffee cup in the morning.
So true. Or it'll be right on our eyes. It'll
yes.
be some kind of contact lens that you can just blink and then it'll change
it away.
The channel.
Yes.
I know. So, and there's some shows that you want to blink away as well.
And, that's what the remote's for. And it's what you're for, because sometimes you watch things so we don't have to. Is it one of those this week, or is it a good one?
Well, it's a little bit like that. I kind of went into this not really knowing what was going on with a show called Don't Tell the Doctor. I thought it might be something like as some mothers do have them, you know? turns out it's nowhere near as interesting as that. Oh. This is another one of those shows where people who suffer from certain physical ailments go on TV to talk about something that they wouldn't talk to their doctor about.
Oh, but they're happy to go on TV and talk to an audience.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to feel weird talking to my doctor, but, you know, all these strangers watching and having some thoughts. The justification for the show, though, is that in the UK, there is 1 in 7 people can't even get in to see a doctor, which then drives people online.
And yes.
I'm just going to say this before we go any further. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I've got something that I want to Google and I'll find out what's wrong with me, don't do it, because the answer is always cancer. Just don't.
Yeah, of course.
And it's, you know,
you
I'm sneezing
get there.
A bit, cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm coughing a bit, cancer. And
yes.
Right from the get-go, I felt really bad for the young woman in her mid-20s, suffers from this really full-on acne, and she was worried about how people were looking at her and what they might think of her. And
well, they think she's got cancer.
Yeah. That's why she's on this show. Turns out it's acne. But
yes.
It's such a weird thing to be worried about your personal appearance and what people might be thinking of when they see you, and then get on a show that will make certain that you're seen by stacks of heaps of people all over the world, right?
Exactly.
I actually thought the highlight of this show was they just filmed 4 doctors sitting around talking. You know, one of the doctors was talking about how they'd encountered a man who had a doorknob stuck up his wazoo and that he'd placed it there to help him get erect. And it turns out when one door opens, another door closes, and he had quite clearly lost the lock and was now stuck. And I just wish the whole show had been half an hour less, that we didn't see any of the patients, and just film 4 doctors sitting around talking
about
the
weird
things.
Stuff that has come in. Yeah,
right. You know, I think that just would have been a lot more interesting. Make certain that they have a drink every 5 minutes, so by the end they're letting it all out. Otherwise, I don't know who this show is aimed at. Sadistic aunties? That's what I always think. You know, aunties that just want to, while you're minding your own business, talking to the rest of the family, try to squeeze a pimple on the back of your neck or something like that. I figure it's those types of people that are really into this. If you're too scared to go and see a doctor, well, then don't watch this show and actually go and see a doctor.
Yeah.
Personally, I'll be keeping my doctor viewing to Doctor Who. So Don't Tell the Doctor, Channel 9, 9:40 p.m, Wednesday night. No thumbs making house calls.
And Lise, now, just a quick recap on everything that's happened with Western Force. The ARU said either Melbourne Rebels had to go or Western Force had to go. Then we got the news that the Western Force were gone. But on Sunday, 8,000 people turned out to protest, and they were backed by Andrew Twiggy Forrest. And here's what he had to say at the event.
Absolutely not the end of the Western Force. It is not the end of rugby in Western Australia. If anything, the hottest fires forge the strongest metals. This will make rugby in Western Australia stronger and stronger again. As a rugby family here in Western Australia, we're number 2 after the AFL. We love Western Australian sport, and we're not going to see it destroyed by a few people who clearly have big problems with governance and big problems with managing money in the eastern states.
Yeah.
An amazing philanthropist, Twiggy Forrest. This just being the latest thing that he got involved in. He was offering to lend people money to buy shares in the Western Force, and then was going to back it up himself, and so it was a win-win-win for everybody. But there has been a new development today. The Australian Rugby Union has rejected an offer of around $50 million from Andrew Forrest to save the code and look after the financial burden of the Western Force. He first pledged support after the club's last match against New South Wales in July and was flanked by former ARU Director Jeff Stook and West Australia's first homegrown Wallaby, John Wellborn, who's also been campaigning to keep the force alive at the meeting this morning. They met with ARU Chairman Cameron Klein, Deputy Chairman Brett Robinson, as well as the Director and former Wallabies Captain John Eales. So a lot of big people involved in all
this,
but then rejected the offer.
That's sad. And I know, like, at the school that my kids go to, there are some rugby juniors there, and the concern is that there's going to be nowhere for them to go.
Is it a big game? Because, I mean, you're a mum of boys in primary school. Is it emerging as a really big sort of game?
There are more of them that play Auskick and AFL, but there are definitely some that go and do rugby. That's their thing. That's maybe what their dads did. We've got some families originally from New Zealand and things like that, or from the eastern states, and that's what they want to do. That's what they aspire to.
Well, today the ARU, in rejecting Forrest's offer, said they made it clear that they're committed to cutting the force. They don't seem to be able to, you know, be swayed on this. They said, "We had a long discussion with Andrew today and have provided in detail the position of the ARU and the factors that have led to our decision to discontinue the Western Force Super Rugby license." So I'm not sure where they go from here, if there's anywhere they can, but we will stay tuned.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it in depth with the Dead Set Legends on Saturday morning on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.